Luke chapter 2, that's a very familiar passage, but let me just tell you this because it's important to me. Maybe it'll help somebody, this message. But the Lord gave me this message many, many years ago, and I've never preached it. But when He laid it on my heart, it was as if I just knew, if I ever get to preach at the Lowcountry Fellowship, this is the message that I hope to encourage the churches and pastors with for the glory of God. I hope that you get a help out of this afternoon. Luke chapter 2, I want to read 12 verses. Follow me, please. Very familiar. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. I realize that it's not a text that you'd normally look at in the month of March, but we get a lot of preaching out of it during the month of December. But there is a message here that I hope will be a blessing to you. If you'll look back with me in verse number 8, I want to preach to the pastors that are here today, especially in those men of God who have preached and stood and continue to do so for the glory of God. Verse number 8 says, And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. If we've ever been in a night time, we're in it. If we've ever faced the enemy and the opposition, we're facing it. If there's ever been a room and a place for people to get comfortable and compromise, today's it. And what our churches need is men who will, as Pastor Willis preached a while ago, still preach 30 years later what they preached 30 years ago. Still stand where we stood and still preach what we preached and be who God has called us to be for the glory of God. When I thought about these shepherds, I thought about the Old Testament rendering and the view that we have in the Old Testament. It's easy for us to jump to Psalm 23 and we see a great picture of a shepherd and we have the description of that shepherd, and we see that there are shepherds that managed their flocks and did a great job. The Bible says that this shepherd in Psalm 23, his sheep had it so good that they shall not want. Amen. These sheep had it so good, they could trust their shepherd to take care of them according to the calling that was on his life. They didn't have to worry about whether their shepherd was going to undermine them or rip them off or not feed them what they should be fed. He said, I shall not want. Why? Because I got a good shepherd. Amen. Of course, if you read in the book of Jeremiah and Ezekiel and some of these others, they warned against some deceitful shepherds and some others who were lazy and self-absorbed and shepherds who had become fleshly and worldly. And boy, their sheep just didn't have much of a chance. Thank God there were some good shepherds. There were some carnal shepherds, but there were some good shepherds. And this shepherd that we saw in Psalm 23, his sheep didn't do without. His sheep were given, if we could, the whole counsel of God. It wasn't just one-sided. It wasn't just one viewpoint. It was the whole counsel of God. He said, I shall not want. The sheep were resting in Psalm 23, and they were residual. He said, He restoreth my soul. I get up the next day, and it's just as good today as it was the other day. Amen. I would think it would be a wonderful condition for a sheep to be in, to know that week after week after week after week, my shepherd's going to be in that place where he ought to be, getting what I need him to get and bringing it to this field where we've been put together. And no matter if it's daytime or nighttime, no matter if the wolves are roaming, no matter if it's comfort and convenient or if it's not, he's going to give me exactly what I need for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. The sheep were in a good place in Psalm 23. But I notice here in verse number 8, the Bible says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And as we've heard many times preaching on this particular subject, we are living, I believe, in the last of the last days. There's no doubt about it. Men are lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. There's no doubt about it. They love pleasure more than they love God. This is, as Pastor Willis said a while ago, this is what we're up against, and this is what our people are up against. I've been a pastor and been in the ministry for many years, and I am very thankful for the calling of God on my life. It does not make me immune from what's out there in the world. I've got two eyes and two ears, and I see and hear what's going on, and our people are being bombarded on a daily basis with the wickedness that's around them. We are certainly living in the night times. We're in a society that has traded good for evil. It is taboo to speak up on the side of righteousness. If you do, somebody, even good people, why is that? Because we are then the minority. There was a day that it was a culture that was at least conducive to preaching, and Christians were respected and men of God were not scoffed at. And I'm sure there's been some sorry shepherds that's done it to ourselves. But at the same time, we are in a culture that is spiraling downward, and evil is now promoted as good, and good is now pushed down as evil. Churches and shepherds often have traded their courage for compromise. We'd rather have humor than holiness. It's nighttime. It's time where we'd rather be asleep on the job. I'm going to tell you, this daylight savings thing is for the birds. I'm glad I'm among friends. Man alive. Somebody told me that today is National Nap Day. I was told that today, now. And I thought, well, ain't no wonder. Yesterday was just that mess your clock up day, and then here you are today, and I've struggled all day. I cannot wait to go to sleep tonight. I'm going to try to make my hour up. But I thought about these shepherds being in the field at night, and I know there's arguable debate over what time of the year it was and all that stuff, and if you don't think it was Christmas time, then you're wrong. It was Christmas time. The baby Jesus was born. But the fact is, they were out there in the field. You ever lay in a field? You ever be outside at night and looking at the stars? And man, everything's just quiet. And every now and again you hear me, me. And it's just, man, this is really good, ain't it? We've had something, we've cooked over the fire, and now we're just kind of laid back. And boy, that's exactly where the devil would like to get us, isn't it? He'd love for us to be lulled to sleep and in the nighttime and lose our focus and lose our fervor and lose our dedication and lose our day. If the wolves showed up in the daytime, man, we got a stick, we got a rod, we got a staff. It comforts the sheep to know they got somebody standing between them and the evil ones. But man, here it is at night. Oh, man, it'd be a whole lot easier to lay down on the job. It'd be a whole lot easier to be asleep. We don't want to be inconvenienced. We've reached a place many times, and it's very common to have reached a place to where we don't want to be interrupted. Our social life, we don't want that interrupted. This is Monday. Why in the world are you bothering me on Monday? I preach on Sunday. These sheep need a shepherd every day of the week. They need somebody who is going to stand between them and the roaming bandits and the roaming predators. They need somebody who is going to feed them and love on them and take care of them and be the shepherd they need them to be, whether it's Tuesday and it interrupts your social schedule, or it interrupts your vacation, or it interrupts some other thing that you would rather be doing. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of times that it's not convenient to be a shepherd. There's sometimes it's not fun to be a shepherd. And when you're preaching and everybody's backing it and all that, man, there ain't no better time in the world. But sometimes it's not fun to be a shepherd. Amen, that's right. I've been called on and they said, "Preacher, we need you this, that, and the other," and I'm glad to be there. There's been times they've called me and I've scratched my head and I said, "Man alive, I didn't know that was my job description." They said, "Preacher," I hope this don't bother nobody, but I'm going to tell it anyway. They said, "Preacher, we're so upset. It's going to cost us too much money to put our little pet down. We need somebody to come put our pet down for us." Now, I didn't go to Bible college, but if I did, I can guarantee you they don't have a class on that. Amen, that's right. Sometimes you get fed things. I had a guy brought me pigtail and rutabaga one time. Now, rutabaga is bad enough. But if you chop off the wrong end of a pig and put it in there and tell me it's good, I'm from Atlanta. You just have to forgive me. But the fact of the matter is, there's just a lot of times that it's not convenient to be a shepherd. They'll sit in my office and at times you say, and they'll have the most sour expression. And they'll have the most foolish reasoning behind why they're all bent out of shape. And it's got to be my job doing like Nehemiah, throwing flare prayers up the whole time, because this is something I've never dealt with before. And God, I need your help right now. This person is about to blow out and go sideways on the church. And I need your help right now, Lord. It would be a whole lot better if we were fishing. But we're having to deal with this. It's not always easy. It's not always fun. But it's always right to be a good shepherd. Amen, that's right. Sometimes, as shepherds, there's a congregation of them there keeping watch over their flock by night. And there's a friendship that is developed. And I'm understanding and learning more and more about the value of that. I appreciate the men of God that He has put in my life to be a friend to me. I thank the Lord for those people. And there's a camaraderie and there's a friendship and a fun time that we can have together. But I've also seen on the other side of it, the politics of it. Maybe I ain't supposed to say nothing, but the politics is hooey. Hooey. I don't care if he's 18 years old, if he was called to preach and he's got a word from the Lord, I want to hear the word of the Lord. Now, he may not be as polished. He may not be as whatever else, and he might stumble over and he may have Peter building the ark before it's over with. But I was there one time. I was 12 when I got called to preach, and they wasn't banging my doors down inviting me to preach revival meetings. But the fact of the matter is, I think we ought to be in a place to support one another. Amen. And I have learned that that's what this fellowship is about. That's what it's supposed to be about. And that's what I've seen it to be about. And I appreciate that probably now more than ever before. But the fact is, if we ever let the politics of the Shepherd's Guild begin to dictate what we say and what we don't say, and you didn't call on me to pray in your meeting, and I've never been on the docket, or whatever else it might, that's a bunch of hooey. We're not here for that. We've got sheep that are struggling. We've got sheep that are starving to death. We've got sheep that are on the verge of divorce. We've got sheep who are trying their best to raise their children. We've got sheep who's got a wayward teenager. We've got sheep who need a shepherd who's not worried about how many stripes he's got on his sleeve versus how many stripes the next shepherd's got on his sleeve. Amen. It's nighttime. The darkness is closing in. We've been called to watch and to be sober because the enemy is going to sneak in and destroy our sheep. The Apostle Paul warned Timothy in the New Testament, warns us often about the attack of the enemy that's coming. 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said, "This know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." We in it, y'all. We in it. Yes, well, they're asking five-year-olds, "Are you a boy? Are you a girl? Which one do you want to be today?" Well, if they ask me, I'm going to tell them I identify as a multimillionaire. Amen. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. The Bible warns us that there's enemies out there who have got a twisted mindset, and these wolves who are wanting to destroy the flock and scatter the flock, they come in, and you and I as shepherds, we ought to have enough good sense to be able to identify them. Amen. Amen. I mean, really, can you not tell the difference between a wolf and a sheep? If they come down the aisle, the sheep is the woolly one. And the wolf is the one that keeps biting you. The sheep runs up to the trough. Sniffs the sheep food and starts looking at the sheep. Y'all pastor churches? Amen. I'm just simply saying that the shepherd's been called to keep his eyes open even though it's nighttime. Paul said, "I'm warning you of these last days and all things going on." He said, "I'm going to tell you, you can identify them." He said, "They're going to come in. They're going to try to change things. They're going to try to change the scriptures." Amen. I'm going to tell you something. You say, "Preacher, there's a debate over that King James Bible." Not with me. Amen. Not with me. There is no debate. There's no debate. It's not broke. It don't need to be fixed. You say, "What about the these and thous?" I'm going to tell you something. The smallest, most unlearned person that speaks English could understand thee. Thou. It's not thou that gives them a problem. It's the "shalt not" that comes after it. We don't need to dumb down our Bible. We need to improve our English. Amen. We need to have a better sense of an education. But we don't need to dumb down and water down and take a pen knife and cut out pages out of our King James Bible. But then wolves want to come in and they want to change the scripture. And you can identify him by that. He wants to change the standards. What we got these fences up for? To keep you out. Well, we got these guardrails up, so some little wayward sheep's running 90 miles an hour won't run off the cliff. He's only 8 years old. He's only 16 years old. He thinks he's got it all figured out, but he's running too fast in the wrong direction. So we got a few standards, amen? Amen. And the wolf said, "Boy, we don't need all them standards." Yeah, we do. Amen. Yes, we do. Amen, that's right. Paul said, I'll tell you how you can recognize them. He said, they're creeps. Right. Amen. Creeps creep. And they're creeping. And if you got somebody creeping, they probably a creep. Amen. If you all the time having, you walking up and there, they got two or three of the teenage girls and he's over there and he's just jolly laughing, having a great time. You might want to keep an eye on that creep.
Come on. That's right.
Amen. Some of y'all been pastoring long enough, you've had a few creeps come through. Amen. I got a number for them. I got a number for this called 911. We call 911 and we let the other minister of God, the Romans 13 minister of God, take care of him. Amen. That's exactly right. You say, "Preacher, you act like you're mad." I'm mad about that. I am mad about that. I've seen too much of it happen in independent fundamental Baptist churches, and unfortunately a lot of shepherds look the other way and want to sweep it under the rug and act like it didn't happen, want to give a benefit of the doubt and all the rest. And I'm telling you what, I believe in innocent till proven guilty, but I also believe in gallows for the guilty. Amen. Paul also warned them of the silly women. You know, silly women's creep bait. Creep bait. Amen. We've got young men that don't need to turn into creeps. And we've got young ladies that don't need to be silly women. That's why they need a shepherd. A shepherd that says, don't stand out there in the dark after your dark time talking with a bunch of boys. You look like a silly woman. I know it's not a popular job, but you're the shepherd. The sheep ain't going to tell the sheep. The shepherd tells the sheep. The shepherd said, this is what we eat, this is where we drink, this is where we go, and now it's time to lay down. You get in the light. Amen. Amen. This is not going the way I thought it was going to go, but that's all right. The wolves want to change the scripture. They want to change the standards. Something else they want to change. They want to change the structure. They want to change the strength of our relationship and our fellowship one with another. I say what Pastor Willis said a while ago. I love him. I love him. He has preached to me for many years, and I love him. He's still the same as I've ever known him to be. And I remember the first time I heard him on a cassette tape, I thought he was the same thing you thought he was first time you heard him preach. I'm glad there's still some men who are still independent, fundamental, Bible preaching, King James Bible preaching Baptist, and we're not mad about it. I'm glad about it. I don't hate everybody that's not one of me. I want to help you. Amen. I like going to Walmart, and you see somebody every now and again there in Walmart, and they look like they're lost. And they're staring and they looking around and they say, man, do you know where the Captain John Durst bread is? I don't go, poof. I hate you. You ain't like me. I know where the bread is. No, I say, come here. They said, do you work here? I said, no, I'm just here all the time. I'm surprised I hadn't seen some of y'all. But I said, it's over here. And we walk down through there and we talking and everything else. And we talk, you know, we wish the gas prices were better and we wish Trump was still the president and all that stuff. You know, and we walk along. And there's the bread. Oh, thank you so much. I just showed them something they didn't know. And I didn't have to be hateful about it. Amen. I am a fundamental independent Baptist, but I'm glad to be one. Amen. I still believe in separation. I still believe in the scripture. Still believe in soul winning. Amen. So, no, you believe in soul winning? You one of those? Yeah, I'm one of those. That's what the 12 was. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Everybody needs the gospel. Amen. When's the last time you shared the gospel? When's the last time you reached out beyond your circle of influence and friends and comfort and got into a place to where they were sinners and they needed a Savior and you reached out to them with the gospel? Amen. I still believe in soul winning. I still believe in smiling. We ought to be the happiest people on earth. Amen. Happy am I, all of my sins forgiven. What a great day. Amen. I'm happy. Are you happy? Amen. Did you get the same kind of salvation the Bible says you can't have? The one that gives you the joy of the Lord, and that's your strength. And when you get up on Monday and Sunday didn't go the way you thought it was going to go, and you got 14 or 15 sheep out there, and you got to go get every one of them, gather them back in, and fight a wolf and everything else, you still come back home singing, happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within His favor. Amen? Amen. I believe in smiling. I believe in separation. I believe in holiness. I believe in mission. The devil wants to change that. And let me just say this, I close. Shepherds have been watching the sheep. Shepherds, it's nighttime. You got to watch out for the wolves. But let me just say one more thing. Shepherds, we're waiting on a day. We're watching for a day. There is a day coming. Amen, that's right. There's a day coming when everything that was misunderstood about you will be straightened out. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you. There's things that sometimes even among ourselves we get misunderstood about one another. If you're preaching that Bible and you're standing on this book and you're doing your best for the glory of God, I got no stones to throw at you. I'm saving my stone and sling for giants, aren't you? Amen. Amen, that's right. Can I just remind you that it may be dark right now, but it's not going to be dark forever. Jesus is coming. Amen. There is a glad day coming, and we're going to hear that trumpet, and we're going to hear that shout. The Bible says there's going to be a shout and the voice of the archangel. Now, I'm of the crowd that believes that the groom will probably be doing the shouting. Amen. I was a groom on July the 15th, 1994, and buddy, when that door's busted open and that beautiful bride walked down the aisle, I told them, they got it on video, at the night before at our practice, I said, when she walks down that aisle, I'm liable to go shouting. Amen. The Bible says that one day the trumpet is going to sound and there's going to be a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's some of our members. Amen. And the ones that's in the grave. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clay. If you can't be together down here, you ain't going to enjoy heaven very much, because we're going to be together up there. Amen. So we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I remember when I was a little boy, I was raised in church my whole life. I didn't get saved until I was 11, and I remember thinking about heaven, and honestly, boy, I thought, man, there's just so many times you can run down a street of gold. I know some of y'all are saying, oh no, I was running down the street of gold for 10 years. Man, you can't do nothing for 15 minutes without getting bored. I thought, man, there's just so many times I can eat fruit off of a tree and look in that water. I mean, what? I really thought I might get bored. I know none of y'all ever thought that, but you wasn't 11. But God showed me this verse one time, and it helped me. He said, we're going to rise up to be together. And then He said, and so shall we ever be. That moment right there, that moment of extreme exhilaration. God's going to put a period at that point in our life, and we will never come down off of that. Amen. So shall how you be right there is how you're going to be. Amen. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Amen. So I want to encourage you, shepherds, until Jesus comes, keep preaching. Keep feeding the sheep. Keep believing, and I know this is unpopular, but keep believing that we can have revival in this generation. There's young people scattered throughout this room, and I heard the preacher say a while ago about young people and all the rest, and I believe that young people can, but I believe old people want it. Amen. Amen. That's right. We want it. And I don't want to be that crowd that sits there while the young people are rejoicing and the old people are crying because of what we thought it could have been. I want to rejoice with them that do rejoice. Amen. Man alive, when God moves in and we get a touch of God and revival and our young people get on fire for God and it starts spreading inside the church, I don't want to say, yeah, but it used to be better. No, I'm going to say it couldn't be better. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at our verse one more time. And there were in the same country, verse 8, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. I didn't develop this thought, but I want to give it to you before we go. I preached on keeping watch over your flock by night. But there's another part in there that's going to help us if we'll get a hold of it. He said abiding in the field. Keep abiding in the field, brother. Hang in there. It's not always easy, but it's always right. You're not alone. You think you're alone. You get lonely, but you're not alone. Amen. We live in a day we can communicate better than we ever have before, and I think we should. And so I want to tell you, don't stop. Don't quit. Keep standing. Keep preaching. There's some sheep out in the field, and it's nighttime, and they need a shepherd. Can we bow our heads together in a word of prayer? Preacher, I'm going to turn it over to you.